Again, it's good to stand before you all again this evening to speak from God's Word. We hope and pray that we will say something this evening that will be encouraging to each and every one of us. As we are here to serve and to worship God and to build up and strengthen one another in love. If you would, turn your Bibles with me over to Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8, we'll begin reading at verse 9. Acts chapter 8, beginning at verse 9. Now there was a certain man called Simon, who previously practiced sorcery in the city and astonished the people of Samaria, claiming that he was someone great, to whom they all gave heed from the least to the greatest, saying, "This man is a great power of God." And they heeded him because he had astonished them with his sorceries for a long time. But when they believed Philip, as he preached the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, both men and women were baptized. Then Simon himself also believed, and when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and was amazed, seeing the miracles and signs which were done. Verse 14, now when the apostles who were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them, who when they had come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit, for as yet he had not fallen upon none of them. They had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then they laid hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. And when Simon saw that through the laying on of the apostles' hands, the Holy Spirit was given, he offered them money, saying, "Give me this power also, that anyone on whom I lay hands may receive the Holy Spirit." But Peter said to him, "Your money perish with you, because you thought that the gift of God could be purchased with money. But you have neither part nor portion in this matter, for your heart is not right in the sight of God. Repent, therefore, of this your wickedness, and pray God if perhaps the thought of your heart may be forgiven you. For I see that you are poisoned by bitterness and bound by iniquity." Then Simon answered and said, "Pray to the Lord for me, that none of these things which you have spoken may come upon me." This evening we want to speak from a subject, what Simon saw. What Simon saw. Here we have the account of Simon, the famous magician, who deceived the people with his magic. We see that back in verse 9. He claimed to be someone great. The people gave heed to him, saying, "This man is the great power of God." They heeded him because he had amazed them with his sorceries for a long time. People then and people today are gullible to men and their deceptive religious practices. Galatians 3 and verse 1, the Apostle Paul asks the saints at Galatia, "Who has bewitched you by false teachers?" He heard the truth, Simon did, and was baptized. We see that back in verse 13. After he was baptized, he saw some things. And we want to look at those things that Simon saw. Simon saw that there is a difference between real and counterfeit religion. What Simon practiced was counterfeit religion. But he saw that there was a difference in that real religion that Philip proclaimed, and the one that he beguiled the people with. He saw that what he was doing was nothing but illusions, but the miracles of Philip performed, but the miracles that Philip performed were for real. It is sad that people today will watch the televangelists on TV and be deceived by them in their false doctrine. They see how they generate a lot of excitement in the people, and people feel that they have to have this excitement in the church. You know, it is described sometimes as hands clapping and toe tapping religion, where people come there to be excited and to be entertained. So people are no different today than what they were back in the days of Simon the Sorcerer, when he beguiled them with his magic tricks. Simon also saw that the kingdom of God had been established. He saw that the church had come into existence, and he himself was amazed by the miracles and signs that Philip did to confirm what he was teaching regarding the kingdom was true. Philip did not do the signs and miracles as a means of creating excitement, as Simon did, in the ears of the hearers. But he did this as a means to confirm the word of God, Hebrews 2, verses 1 through 4. He confirmed the word of God through these signs and miracles, which he did. Simon saw what it would take to be a part of the kingdom. He heard the gospel, he believed it, and he was baptized. So Simon was added to the Lord's church. Now I want to look at four of the things that Simon saw. Simon saw that the Holy Spirit was given by the laying on of the apostles' hands. We see that beginning at verse 14. He saw that when Peter and John came down, that they laid hands on the people and that they received the Holy Spirit. Simon saw this, that the power of God came through the laying on of hands. The apostles had this gift, this power to lay hands on one to receive the Holy Spirit. Notice what the Apostle Paul told the church there at Rome in Romans chapter 1. Notice in verse 11, Romans chapter 1 and verse 11. The Apostle Paul writes, "For I long to see you, that I may impart to you some spiritual gifts, so that you may be established." So Paul wanted to come there at Rome and lay his hands on them, that they may receive these some spiritual gifts. Paul reminded Timothy to stir up the gift of God which was in him through the laying on of the apostles' hands. The Holy Spirit baptism was not administered. It was only administered, twice in the Bible. In Acts chapter 2 and in Acts chapter 10. And both of these cases, the baptism was administered by Christ. It's only two times that the Holy Spirit baptism was administered. And it came from heaven as an outpouring of the Spirit of God. People are not baptized today with the Holy Spirit. Now, there are a lot of people today who would disagree with you on that. I've had people tell me that they have been baptized with the Holy Spirit and with fire. And I tell them that, well, you may want the Holy Spirit baptism, but you don't want the fire baptism. It has not been administered yet, but it will be administered by Christ when he comes back. So you have not been baptized with fire, nor have you been baptized with the Holy Spirit baptism, because, again, only Jesus could baptize one with the Holy Spirit baptism, and that was only done on those two occasions that we mentioned earlier. Later, the apostles had the ability or the gift to impart certain gifts of the Holy Spirit to certain people that they would lay their hands upon. And this power to perform miracles and lay on hands ended when the last apostle died. I just want to throw that in, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 8 through 11. Simon also saw that it was possible for a child of God to fall from grace. Simon saw this. Simon wanted this power to lay on his hands, and he was willing to pay for it. I have to give Simon credit. He did not ask the apostles here in Peter and John to give him this power to lay on hands. No, he was willing to pay for it. He had believed and obeyed the gospel like every child of God, but he sinned and fell from grace. Simon, I had somebody tell me one time that Simon really really was not a Christian. I disagree with you. Simon was. He believed the gospel just like you say you did, and he repented of his sins and he was baptized. Simon was a Christian, but he fell from grace, because he thought that he could buy the power of God with money. He saw that his money was no good when it came to matters of faith and obedience to the gospel. Notice there in verse 20. But Peter said to him, "Simon, your money perish with you." His money perish. But now you have people today who feel like that they can purchase the gift of God. They feel that they can purchase salvation. And you have preachers who will take people money and tell them that they are saved. And these people think that they're saved simply because they're paying for salvation. But one cannot do that. Peter tells Simon the sorcerer that he could not buy the power of God. It cannot be purchased, Peter tells Simon. Simon saw that his heart was not right before God. Simon saw this. And that he needed to repent and pray to God to forgive him. I think Simon was an honest person. But when he saw this gift or this power to lay hands on the individuals and that they will receive the Holy Spirit, Simon, like many of us, those dollar signs begin to click in his head. And Simon said, well, you know, I've always had this counterfeit religious practice and this sorcery and things, but this is true and this is powerful. If I just had this, there's no limit on how much money that I can make. See? So Simon, he wanted this power. Not only that, then the people had already called Simon a great man, this great man. Just think if he had this power to lay hands upon people. And they were and imparting to them the Holy Spirit. Just how much greater the people would think that he was. You know, it's sad, but we have people today in the religious world who pretend that they can heal people. And people flock to them so that they can be healed. I don't know. I think I saw where this man was... He said that he was a healer, and I think it was this lady came to him to be healed, and he did his talk and whatever over her, and I think she couldn't walk. He told the lady to get up, and the lady couldn't get up, and he went on for, get up, tried, and he almost beat the lady to death trying to get her to get up, see? Because of this false religion that he's practicing. But you know, people will fall for that. They will fall for that. They fall for these healers, you see, palm readers and things. I remember when I was a child growing up, my auntie, step auntie, we used to go up to her house. And she practiced healing people. I was young and didn't really know. I knew when I walked into her house, right over her door, she had a horseshoe hanging up there. And then I was later to find out that she practiced healing people. And people would come to a flock to her house. Every time you go there would be people there. They believed that she had this power to heal people. But she didn't have it. She didn't have it. But people want, you know, we want miraculous things today. But we simply have the gospel of Christ. But we don't want to, people do not want to buy that. They don't want to buy the truth and sell it not. Simon saw that a Christian could truly fall from grace. You know, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 26 through 31 teaches us that one can fall from grace. You know, again, that's a religious teaching that in the religious world that once saved, always saved. You know, you'll never fall from grace. But that's not true. Simon the sorcerer, he fell from grace. Notice what Peter tells him. He says, Simon, again, your money perished with you because you thought that the gift of God could be purchased with money. Simon fell from grace. And Peter tells him that he needs to repent. You see, Simon, you need to repent. If Simon could not fall from grace, then there was no need for him to repent. You see. But Simon saw that he had fallen from grace. And we'll see that later, that he realizes this. But Peter tells him, Simon, you thought that you could buy the power of God. You know, a lot of times what we think will get us in a whole lot of trouble. It's not what we think, but it's what God has told us. And a lot of times we think that we can outthink God. You know, in Jeremiah 10 and verse 23, it says, "The way of a man is not in him. It is not in man that walketh to direct his own steps. We can't do that. The word of God directs us and teaches us. No, Isaiah 55, verse 89, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, said the Lord. For as the heaven are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts than your thoughts." See, Simon thought that he could buy the power of God. A lot of things. We think that once a person is saved, they're always saved, but that's not true. And Simon saw that. Simon saw that there are dire consequences for sin, and that when one sins, he has no part in the kingdom of God. Peter tells him again there in verse 21, "You have no part nor portion in this matter." Simon, the dire consequences of sin, and Simon saw this. Now, a lot of times people will say, "Well, it's me. If I sin, it's just me." No. Sin has far-reaching effects. I often tell them about David. When David's sins reached far from David. When Nathan the prophet came to him and told him that God has forgiven you, David, but the sword will not fall from your house. So David's family had to suffer for what David did, you see. So there are consequences of sin. You see. Yeah. And you, again, you tell young people, "Wait a minute now. It's me. It's my body. I can do with it what I want, but there are consequences to this." See? There's your mother and father. You're going to hurt them. You see? And who knows? Later generations can be hurt by sins that we commit today. Simon saw that there are dire consequences for sin. Peter tells him, notice in verse 22, he tells him to repent, therefore, of this your wickedness. What Simon did was wicked. You know, we might say, "Well, no, he was earnest, he was sincere, and he didn't ask Peter to give him anything. He wanted to buy it." That's not wicked, is it? Peter said, "Simon, what you did is wicked." Anytime that we think that we can buy something that's spiritual from God, then that's wicked. Again, I have to go back to buying salvation. You have people today who they put a lot of money into the collection trays because they think that they're buying their salvation. And they think that they can do anything that they want to do. And again, a lot of times if you approach them, they will say, "Well, look at here. You know, I'm supporting this place here. I put a lot of money in that collection tray, so you can't come talking to me about anything." And kind of like, so Simon wanted to buy it, and we think we can buy salvation today. Simon is afraid and that he does not want the things that Peter spoke to him to happen to him. Simon was afraid. What did Peter tell him? He says, "For I see that you are poisoned by bitterness and bound by iniquity." In other words, Simon, you are filled with sin and evil, jealousy. All these things are in you. Peter said, "I see, Simon, that these are in you." See? And somebody might say, "Well, Peter, how can you see these things in the man? He only asked about the spirit of power of God." Let me tell you something. I mentioned this morning, I think it was in Bible class, is that all sin before God is evil. You know, you may call it a sweet, honest lie, but before God is a sin worthy of condemnation. That's right. And so Peter says here, "Simon, you are poisoned by bitterness and bound with iniquity." another version of the Bible called the Books reads like this, that there is jealousy and sin in your heart. Simon saw here something, what the wages of sin is. The wages of sin was death. And Simon saw that. That he needed to repent in order for him to be saved. The fourth thing that Simon saw is that when one sins, his sins can be forgiven. Isn't that good? Simon saw that when one sins, their sins can be forgiven. You know, John says over in 1 John 2, verses 1 and 2, if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He is the propitiation for our sins. Simon saw this. Notice there in verse 24. Then Simon answered and said to Peter, pray to the Lord for me that none of these things will happen. Simon saw that one's sins can be forgiven. If we confess our sins, Christ is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. 1 John chapter 1, verses 8 and 9. He also saw that when he sinned, that he needed faithful brethren to pray for him. You know, so sometimes Peter told Simon to pray to God himself. But Simon saw something there. Well, wait a minute here. I may not be in the right position to pray to God. Peter, you pray to God for me. There are times when we need other Christians to pray for us. And we need to let them know that. Brother, I need you to pray for me. And, you know, I always ask for prayer because I need it. This morning we talked about our daily meditation. And we looked at things that Paul said there to the Philippian brethren, things that they should meditate on, you know, things that are lovely and all those different things. But then I added a final thing that Paul told the brethren over at Thessalonica. He said, brethren, pray for us. We need prayer. It should be a part of our daily meditations to pray for one another. Simon here sees the need. It kind of goes with the Galatian letter where Paul said we need to bear one another's burdens. We need to pray for one another to help one another. You know, Simon saw the need. You know, many of us might say, well, brother, you just need to go home and pray and ask God to forgive you. But what are you going to do? Are you going to pray for that brother? That brother needs prayer. He needs help. The effective and fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Simon saw that Peter was more righteous than him. He needed Peter to pray for him. You see. James says over in James 5 and verse 19, brethren, if any of you do err and wander away from the truth, and one converts them or turns them back, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death. We need to be concerned about one another. Simon the sorcerer. And Peter was concerned with Simon the sorcerer. Peter wanted Simon to be saved. That's why he condemned him. And it opened Simon's eyes. And Simon saw the need for him to be saved. The need for Peter to pray for him. Can you see what Simon saw? Can you see what Simon saw? Simon saw, first of all, that salvation cannot be bought. You know, all the money in the world is not going to buy salvation. Jesus said, what would it profit a man if he gained the whole world and lose his soul? What would a man give in exchange for his soul? You most certainly can't give money in exchange for your soul. Simon the sorcerer saw this. Oh, you can't give money for that. Simon saw again that a Christian can fall from grace and be lost. Simon saw that. Peter told him his heart was not right. Simon again saw that there are consequences of sin, just like David. You know, sin has far-reaching consequences. And so Simon saw this. And then Simon saw that when we do sin, and that's why I want to leave us all at tonight, when we do sin, we can be forgiven. If there's anyone here tonight Maybe there's sin in your life. Maybe you done some things that are not right, and you want to come and you want to make that confession that you have sinned, and that you want the church to pray for you again. Simon was not comfortable in his own prayer, I don't believe. That's why he asked Peter to pray for him. May not be sin. Maybe there's some things that are going on in your life. Maybe they're